Okay. So welcome back, everybody. Today is lecture number 37 on Nevi'im Rishonim. And because it's Erev Yom Zikaron coming tonight and coming up Yom Ha'atzmaut, and we have the question of Hallel. So what I want to do today is take this opportunity, right, with this in my introduction. Yom Zikaron, Yom Ha'atzmaut is coming up, and we're concluding Sefer Shmuel. And as I mentioned last week, the last section of Sefer Shmuel, the last four chapters, form a unit. And we attribute them to the Navi God. And at the center of that unit is going to be what's called Shirat David, David's famous song, which is the Haftarah for, it's the Haftarah on Shmisha Pesach. We read it recently. It's also a similar version in Tehillim chapter 18. And I want to tie it to what's happening in, for Yom HaTzmot and Yom HaZikaron, the idea of saying Hallel. But most important, I want to use it to try to begin our conclusion of Sefer Shmuel. We have two or three classes left in Shmuel. I want to get the thing together and try to find meaning in that Shira and the meaning of saying Hallel today as well. Okay, so quick review. The last unit of Sefer Shmuel we attributed to the Nevi God. That was last week's Shir, identifying the different Nevim in the book and how the book was put together. And in these last four chapters, we had the first story was David's sin. The sin of the from the time of Shaul, of what they did to the Gibonim and the punishment and what happened. So it's a sin relating to punishment, God's being angry with the people, and it's being resolved by some form of tshuva. Then we have a few short stories about David's wars. We'll talk about them in a minute. Shirat David in the center of it, and David's heroes in chapter 23. And then another story about David making a mistake, basically Amiso doing something wrong, and a severe divine punishment, the plague, which ends with David repenting and buying the field from Arpna the Jebusite, which leads to the site of the temple. That'll be chapter 24. We're going to focus on that chapter the week before Yom Yerushalayim, and that'll be our last, that'll be our transition from Sefer Shmuel to Sefer Melachim, because the topic of the temple ties the two books together. And so in this unit, at the center of the unit are David's songs, and it's surrounded by two stories about divine punishment and what was done to resolve that problem. Okay, so first thing we're going to do is look quickly at the end of chapter 21, which in theory could also be in chapter 22 or by itself. There are four quick wars, four stories of battles that David fought. We're not going to go into the details. I just want to point out the end of chapter 21, after the story of the Gibonim, and David finally finding proper burial for Yonatan and Shaul, and those people who were had to be put to death because of the request of the Gibonim. There's a milchama with the Plishtim, where David's involved in the war, but that war, he becomes tired. So clearly this is a war after he's become king, and now he's sort of getting old, and he shouldn't be going to the battle anymore. And then they decide at the end of that battle, Anshei David, means David's men, his warriors, the people fighting the army with him, they told David, you don't come to war with us anymore. And that was, if you fall in war, that's not going to be good. And you're better off at home. Of course, Chazal learned from there that you stay home and you're going to pray and say Tehillim and help us win our battle. That's the famous Midrash on the section. Then there's another war in a place called Gov with the Plishtim, somewhere in the area of the Shvela. And another victory, and another milchama, Vatiyot milchama, I'm just highlighting the psukim, and another milchama. There's an interesting question, who's this Goliath Hagiti who was killed by someone named Elchanan ben Ya'ari? So the two different people named Goliath, and two different people, or there's one midrash that says this is another name, Elchanan is another name for David. Anyway, that's a whole discussion in the commentators. We're not our topic for today. And another milchama on Gat. And basically, at the end of chapter 21, we have these great military victories, not just by David, by David's men. And it's a summary of great military victories of David's army. In light of that, that takes us to Shirat David, which we'll see the header in a minute. And then there'll be another short song of David in the beginning of chapter 23, sort of final song. And then followed by all of David's heroes. And finally, the last chapter, 24, about counting the people and how that was resolved and leading to the site where the temple is going to be built. Now, In the Shira, we're going to start now with the Shira and look at the header, talk a few things about it, and then try to tie it in Tehillat Shmot. I'll just begin the first opening lines, and then we'll get to work. Vayedaber David l'Hashem divrei Hashira hazot, b'yom hitzil Hashem oto mikaf koivav v'mikaf sho'ol. In the header already we're saying, who gets credit for David being saved? Hashem. B'yom hitzil Hashem oto. From all of his enemies and from Sha'ol. Now it's interesting, Mikav Ko'evav, obviously he's referring to the Plishtim and his military enemies, and from Sha'ol as well. And that's a question, is it possible to see in the song, can we find a difference between his praise of God when he's being saved from Sha'ol and from his enemies? I'll just give a quick, what we're going to see in the Shira in a nutshell is that many times David talks about himself relatively being passive and God doing everything. And then the second half, it talks about David doing things on his own and God helping him. So the question is God helping David? Is David relatively passive and God helping him and every time he's in trouble? Which could fit when he's being chased. Remember, David won't go and actively try to kill Shaul. He's going to run away from Shaul and protect himself, but not actively fight him, as opposed to the battles of the Plishtim where he acts actively involved. So one reason for the difference between passivity and activity in the Shira might be because of battles with Shaul and battles with David, or it could be just a progression in the Shira we'll see, in two different ways of viewing what's happening. But first I want to show you the progression in the Shira, in the Shira, in the song. So now let's continue in the Shira itself. Okay. Now, his opening line is famous by Yomar. Hashem Salim Surati Mtaltili. God is my rock. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer. Hashem is my, again, Elohit Suri. The word Sur comes up a lot. And he'll give me my protection. He'll be my refuge. Keren Yishi. He lifts me up and from when I'm running away, etc. And the key word here is he's my savior. Michamas Yoshini. He's going to save me from Hamas, from violence. We'll talk about that in a minute. Now, is there anything in David's life that rings a bell? You can write in the chat or you can enter, say in the speak up. Why would David refer to God as his rock, his Selah, his Mitsuda, his Tsur, his Keren Yishi, etc.? Anything in David's life that ring a bell from there? Anyone remember any stories about David where the word Selah comes up?
No.
Okay, that's cute, the Selah. They're actually, I don't think they're called Selim, but they're called Chalukei Nachal. I'm not sure if they're called Selaim. But they're Selah HaMachloket. Remember that story when Shaul's chasing him? And Shaul's about to catch him. And David's on one side of the mountain, and Shaul and his men are on the other side of the mountain. And David's saved at the last minute, and a messenger comes to Shaul and says, the Plishtim have attacked. And they call the place Selah Machloket. David hides out in Mitzudot David. We have that. Not the Mitzudot. We have the Mitzudot in Nevim. The Parshan in Nevim called the Mitzudot. It's named after that Pasuk. But David's in the Mitzudah by En Gedi several times. Basically, the words that David's using to describe God protecting him are very much reflect events in his life. That's number one. Number two, the word Sur. Where's the main time in Chumash where God's referred to as Tzur?
Azinu.
Exactly. Tzur Tamim Polo. And the whole theme of Azinu is that when things go wrong, don't blame God. And when things go wrong, blame yourselves. When things go right, God gets the credit, or you have to be worthy of God's help. That'll be a big theme in David Shira. So what I want to explain for the introduction, I want to show you inside, is that Shira David is going to be important because it's going to find a beautiful balance between the need to pray and the need to fight. And obviously it's going to fit into Yom HaTzmaut, the modern day Israel. Meaning, if you in a military situation that things are bad, so we turn to God and pray. Now, do we pray and do nothing, you follow? Just pray to God and God's going to fight our enemy. We sit back and do nothing. Give me a story in Chumash that represents that idea. That we're about to be attacked by the enemy, and God says, you just sit back and do nothing, and I'll come and save you.
Shir Hayam.
That's exactly. Remember? Remember says, Ben Bitiatzvu wrote, Yeshua Hashem, Hashem Yilachem Lachem, Vatem Tacharishun. God will fight for you, and you, everything will be fine. That's going to be in the beginning of chapter 14 in Sefer Shemot. I'm sure you're familiar with that. When we get the next, that's the first battle that Am Yisrael faces after the free. The next battle with Amalek already, or they're already fighting on their own, but God's helping them, Moshe putting up his hand. Remember? And with the staff of God in his hand, and the famous Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, that the symbol of God inspired them to remember who they're fighting for and why they're fighting. But as we go through Chumash, by the time we get to the end of, in the 40th year in Sefer Bamidbar, we're fighting Og and Sihon, which we're much more proactive in the fighting. And Sefer Yoshua, there's a beautiful development of, in the beginning, God is very involved in helping us, bringing down the walls of Jericho, doing the first battle, and then giving some strategy. By the end of the book, we're basically fighting as much as possible on our own, and God's helping us in more subtle ways. So what's the big question? When you're fighting a battle, how much do you depend on yourself, and how much do you depend on God? Now, what's the danger of depending too much on God and not doing anything yourself? He might not help you, okay? He might not do, just needs a miracle. What's the danger of too much on yourself? You might take all the credit and not thank God for it. So David's going to be this ideal blend between, on the one hand, turning to God for help, but at the same time, taking initiative on his own and fighting. David definitely, he's a man of war. He's a general. He plans. He takes initiatives. And so he doesn't only pray. He also fights. But that's simple. That's classic. The key in David's Shira is going to be, if God is going to help David in battle, David has to be worthy. It's not enough to say a Perek and Tehillim and pray to God before going to battle, and then God will come and help you in battle. But when you pray, you need to remember, number one, the outcome of the battle, the fate of the battle is in the hand of God. But God will help you on the condition you're worthy of his help. And therefore, if David's going to attribute his victory to God, he's not only going to attribute his victory to God helping him and saying thank you, he's going to recognize if God helped him, it's because of his acts of kindness and righteousness, that he had to be deserving of that help. And that's what makes Shira David super important. I think something not emphasized enough nowadays is that it's not just we pray to God for help in battle, and then to remind ourselves that we have to be involved and we have to daven, is that the prayer before battle and time of battle, if for the soldiers, even not for the soldiers, is that to be worthy of God's hashkacha. If God's going to help us in battle, we have to be worthy of that help. To be worthy of that help, we have to be a nation following God's laws properly and serving God properly. And I want to show you that as we go through the Shira. Already? That's a key point. And I think it's real simple and real basic, but I think it's something that's not emphasized enough in modern day education. So let's go back to the share my screen and show you inside. Okay. So again, I just noticed the words that reflect part of David's life. Hashem is Suri, Mizgabi, Munusi. If you want to see details here in Dat Mikra, he goes through all of them and brings where they're coming from in a very nice way. And then Muhulal Kra Hashem Avayiv Hashem. Again, he praises God. He says Hallel. He calls out to God, and he recognizes that God's saving him from his enemies, and he's in difficult situations. Afafuni Mishbari Mabet. And what happens? He's basically surrounded by death. And then Betzarli Yakra Hashem. We'll see this in another parak in Tehillim at the end of the year. When I'm in trouble, he calls out to God, and Elul Hayakra Veishma Mechalo Kuli Veshavati Bosnav. Now, anyone else in Tanakh cries out to God and God hears from Hechal? Ring a bell anywhere?
Yonah.
Yeah, in Yonah, let me stop my share for a second. Remember what Perek in Yonah is his tefillah? Oh, wrong one here.
Second.
So we go to Yonah Bible. Yonah should be right there. Oh, I have to share my screen. Share screen. And Jonah and chapter 2. How's this filah begin? By Pelo Yonah Hashem Alavi Meadagav Yomakrati Mitzarade, very similar. Yaneni Mibet and Shaol. We had these words in Shira David, didn't we? Tzara and Shaol, Tashkim Tula. He goes on, Efafuni Maim. We had Efafuni Chabi Mavet, remember? There's tons of parallels. In Dat Mikra, they have lots of them. But they're very easy to see. Where is Hechal? Here. B'tatef alei nafshi el Hashem zacharti toi lecha tefilati el hacha kutshecha, as you mentioned. Now, there's going to be now another tefillah that's similar to this one. Anyone want to take a wild guess? What other famous tefillah in Nevim, actually in Sefer Shmuel, are we going to find a parallel to Shirat David, especially at the end? Just take a guess. I mean, it's not...
Chana?
Exactly, Tefillat Chana. Anyone remember where in Tefillat Chana she talks about David? Okay, the last line of her tefillah, we'll get to it in the end of this year. The last line of her tefillah talks about that concept of Mashiach Hashem, and we'll see how the two, how the shirah, the tefillah at the beginning of the book is going to match the tefillah at the end of the book. Okay? Just a couple of structural things that are just technical. Now let's get back to the shirah and see David's point. We're back to our source sheet. Okay, I skipped a lot of psukim. We have time to do the whole, because I want to get to 106 and 107, which is what we say in Shul on Yom HaTzmod. Okay. Yishach mimrom yichacheni yam sheni mimayim rabim. I just want to point out these psukim, how God, he's giving all the credit to God. See the verbs? Okay. God yishlach mimrom. He sends his hand from high up and he takes me and he pulls me out of waters like I'm about to drown. And figuratively speaking, yatzileni mimayvai. See that God saving me. Misanai kiyamtsu mimeni. We have psukim like this all through Tehillim. Yekadmuni b'yomeidi, etc. And v'yetzele merchadoti, yechatzeni. I'm just highlighting all the things where God's doing things for me. Yigmaleni Hashem kitzitkati. That's it. Kavor yada yeshivli. That was the point I was making. Yigmaleni Hashem. Remember our gomel chasadim tovim? We say birchat ha-gomel. God rewards me for what? According to my righteousness. That's it? Kavor, before means the cleanliness of my hand. Give me an example from Tehillim we say all the time. Remember in Mi Yaleh L'Har Hashem, Mi Yakum Mekom Tshoch. There's a question in that Mizmor. In Mizmor for we said this morning for Sunday, Mi Yaleh L'Har Hashem Mi Yakum Mekom Kotsho. What's the answer? Remember from this morning. I'm Uvar Levav. What's Bar Levav? Bar means a pure heart. So Kabor Yadai, like the cleanliness or the cleanse of my hands, he compensates me. But I'm trying to point out the idea that David isn't just thanking God for helping him. He's associating God's help with his worthiness of God's help. Why is that important? Because when we pray to God for help, it has to remind us we have to be worthy of God's help. So it's not just recognizing God. If God doesn't just need to hear that I believe in him or I put my faith, I'm turning to him. The main purpose of prayer is to realize we have to be worthy of God's help and has to affect how we behave. Now he says it explicitly. Ki shamarti darchei Hashem. Who remembers what Derech Hashem is? From Bereshit, everyone should know that. Derech Hashem according to Chumash? Valach to Bidrachav?
Tzedek.
Remember, what pasuk are we talking about? The famous one in Bereshit? Ki yedativ leman hashir tzaved banav, v'shamru et Derech Hashem, lasot tzedek u'mishpat. 18:19 in Bereshit. Which obviously the idea of Mishpat and Staka by David is key. We've mentioned that many times. So David's saying again, Ki shamarti darchei Hashem, v'lo rashati me'elohai. Again, my key point I'm making is that what's so important about the Shirah, what's so central to the book and the theme of the book, is not just that David attributes God's help, that attributes his victory to God, but he recognizes it's a function of his deeds. And that's why he has to make sure that he's worthy, and that's why he's tefillot, and his tshuva are going to be key. And that's the parallel, remember Malchut Yehuda? We learned from Yehuda back in the beginning in Sefer Bereshit already. Yehuda was able to recognize his sin, did something about it. He was moden, he took action, he took leadership. Remember the story with Tamar and later with the story with Yehuda. With Yosef. Okay, Kicho Mishpatav Le'Beiti, Chukotav, Lotsur Mimena. Remember Mishpat and Chukim, Chukim Mishpatim? We saw in Kedoshim Tiyu, we had last week in Achorimot. Now, why Ve'yet Tamim Lo? V'shtamar Me'avoni. Again, do you see how many psukim talk about his righteousness? I'll go again. First he talked about how God's doing everything for me. Remember, Yatzileni, Yekadmuni, Yechaltzeni, Yigmaleni, Avo Kitzit Kati, Kavor Yadai. Ki Shamarti Darchei Hashem. Got it again. He wasn't Rasha. He wasn't evil. He kept his Mishpatim and his Chukim. Okay? Vayet tamim lo. Why tamim? Why dafke is tamim so important, being emphasized by David over and over again? Where in Chumash is that coming from?
That's a key word for Avraham, Heye Tamim.
Remember, the introduction to Brit Milah is, remember, Hitalech lefanavi tamim. I'll just give you a quick example from David. I don't know why this isn't in davening. It should be. Let me share my screen and open up my Tehillim again. Wrong one. No, I didn't do this right.
What?
Yeah, I'm listening, Marty. I'm just trying to get my screen on again. Okay, so share my screen again. Go ahead, I'm listening.
Rabbi, then the Torah also called Noach Tamim.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, that's more than, you're right on the mark, but the reason why Chumash calls Noach Tamim, Tamim is a setup, remember, it's a foil to understand that's what Noach was and that's what Avram needs to be. Again, if I go back to Bereshit, the Psukim we just talked about, chapter 17, and Avram is 99. This is the introduction to, remember, Brit Milah is here in Pasuk Zion, Vakimoti b'ni u'minecha, and Imolachem Kol Zachar. Remember the Od Brit, Zot Brit Yasher Tishmuru, Imolachem Kol Zachar. And so Od Brit, Benu Benechem. I'm sure you remember that. But the introduction to Brit Milah is, God appears to Avram and tells him, Ani El Shaddai, Italech Lefanevi Yetamim. Now, if I want to translate that, you see David knew his Chumash in Psalms, Psalm 15 is a classic. It sounds very universal. Mizmor le David, Hashem, big question. Mi yagur ba'olecha, mi yishkon b'har kodshecha? I guess I'm making up for Benny's not teaching today, so I'm being mashlim, our Sunday dose of tehillim. Okay. Mi yagur ba'olecha, mi yishkon b'har kodshecha? Means who's worthy of dwelling in your tent? Who can dwell in your high mount? See this idea of Mishkan and Mikdash? Okay. Now, remember har kodshecha? That's the Yerushalayim. Yagur ba'olecha is going to be the Mishkan. Now, what's the answer? Basically, holech tamim upel tzedek. Got it? Holech tamim, that's it, alech lefnevi tamim. Dover emet bilvavo. Got it? Lo ragal lishono, lo asal rei ora. These are all, basically, this is Rabbi Kelmanshir. It's all about proper behavior. Okay? He doesn't make anybody, he doesn't embarrass anybody. He honors those who fear God. And he doesn't break his word. And he doesn't, uses his money properly, doesn't take interest, doesn't take bribes, etc. Okay? Someone doing that won't fall down. Basically, David's attributing who's worthy to have God watch over him and take care of him, someone who follows God properly, but holech tamim. Again, everything here is universal, but this is Mifat Am Yisrael and Poel Tzedek. If I want to go back real quickly to what I mentioned before about what are Darchei Hashem, if I go back to Bereshit, I was 17, chapter 18, in the story of Sodom. Remember when God tells, when Chumash tells us that God had from Avram why he's angry with Sodom, Avram is going to become a great nation. Remember, he'll bring blessing. Ki dativ, I came to know him so that he would command his children. And there are the children. Here's the key word. V'shamru et derech Hashem. Follow the ways of God. Lasot tzedakah u'mishpat. In order that God's vision for Abraham will come true, Am Yisrael has to follow the ways of God. That's the chukot Hashem, God's ways, as Ramban explained, is doing tzedek u'mishpat. That means to emulate God. And therefore, all through Sefer Devarim, v'alach bidrachav, over and over again in Devarim, Derech Hashem is always is doing mishpat and tzedakah. Just as long as I mentioned Devarim, just a review of things we've talked about 1,000 times. At the end of Shema, following something from Shema every day. The last line of Shema is, what's it say? Man yivu yimechem, kol mitzvah zot, which I'm commanding you to love God. Okay? To love God. To walk in his ways and thing. Then God will give you, here, this is, Debbie's building on this. What, at the end of Shema, the second parasha in Devarim, what's God say? If you keep all this commandment I'm giving you today, okay? To love God. Then God will help you defeat your enemies, and you'll conquer the land and possess it. And you can conquer nations greater than you. And everywhere you go, I'll go and help you. But Moshe is screaming at Sefer Yerushalmi over and over again, God set aside the land for you to possess and build your nation. God will help you conquer it only on the condition you're worthy. And if I want to just put icing on the cake again, I could bring another 20 psukim from Devarim. But if I look at chapter 16 at the end, yeah, after the holidays, remember we said, Ola, we just read this in Yom Tov, on last day, Shoftim b'shana, Shoftim b'shoftim b'chol, Tim b'shoftot ha-mishpat tzedek, see that thing? What ha-mishpat? Here. Tzedek, tzedek, tirdof, see the word tirdof, David? But it's such a key theme in Chumash. I just think I'm just making a big deal about it because I think we emphasize so much tefillah about the importance of davening for God to help us and thanking God. But that is, has to be transformative. And Chumash is screaming that theme and David's screaming that theme in the Shira. So it's not just saying halal, it's internalizing it. It's not believing that God will do. If you pray hard enough, he'll do whatever you ask him to do. If you pray hard enough, you'll understand that God can help you, but it's a function of your deeds. Now, question. Go ahead, Marilyn.
Yeah, no, that Michael Ches, he says, Ma'ashem Doresh Micha, Ki Ma'asei Mishpat V'Havta Chesed.
Yeah, that's where all the Nevi'im get it from. I can bring you 1,000 psukim from Yirmiyahu, not 1,000, maybe 100, from Yirmiyahu, same thing, from Yishayahu. They all take that thing, those. The thing that David's saying is all built on Chumash in the story of stone and the flood story being the foil for Abram being chosen. It's such a mega theme in Chumash, that's all.
And in contrast to Yechezkel and the Haftorah that we read last Shabbos and the previous Shabbos, depending on which minhag, but that whole two prakim of Yechezkel is what happens when we don't do what we're supposed to.
Exactly,
do.
That's what it says. In fact, he said all these things, l'man shfuch dam, I'll show you what Ash is talking about. That's why there's a custom not to read it because it's so harsh. But Ash is talking about Yechezkel 22, right, Asher?
I actually started at the beginning at Yechezkel 20 and read right through 20, 21, 20.
20 boys, 20 harsh. Book. Yeah, 20 is harsh. We don't. God throws a book at us from the time we left Egypt. We were rebellious. He just saves us the man Shmo. But he says at the end here, "Ve'amruvi v'lo here, ve'amruvi lavo d'shmo elai." Oh, that's chapter 20, isn't it? I did 20 also. 22, that's when you wanted. 22. But tishpot etir adamim, let's judge them and tell them how bad they've been. He says it goes on and on. And here, shochad lachuvach, right? The man shvoch dam. They didn't take shochad to kill people. Okay? You took shochad, you took bribes, and that leads to losing battles. Okay? Neshef ketabit lakafta. See what David was talking about? You lent your money for interest. Okay? And you did oshek. You oppressed people. Okay? And you forgot God. Okay? And therefore I hit you. Okay? For all your iniquity that you've done. Yadamecha shor yu betochech. It goes on and on. And therefore that's why I scattered you among the nations. Okay? To get rid of your tumah. And that's why he gave it over to the other nations, okay? Do you know? And therefore, God promises, I'll bring you back, okay? But I'll bring you back on the condition you do better next time.
A Mishnah tells us that this language is so harsh that we shouldn't read it.
Exactly, yeah. But I think that I mentioned to my friends, I agree this year we should have. Because when you need, when this message has to be emphasized educationally, thinking it's enough just to pray to God and not fixing your ways and not fixing our society. It's after I think, again, we keep our customs, but if there's a machloka, what custom to follow? Educationally, this would be a good week to do, a good opportunity to do the harsh one. Okay, let's get back to the Shira, and because I want to get to the Mizmor we say for Yom Ha'atzmaut. Okay, good. But we broke a Vayet Tamimlo. I'll be perfect. Over here again, really negative enough. Again, the idea of being pure. Okay. And then, im gibor, care. Im chasid, tit chasad, im gibor tamim, tit amam. See the word of tmimut and being a chasid. That's the pasuk you mentioned from Sfania. Avat chesed, hasnei lechet im Hashem elokecha. Same idea. This is very poetic. Im nabar tit abar. He's almost sounding like an early form of Isaiah's poetry here. Mikish tit apal. Okay. Et amani toshia, ve'enecha ramim tashpil. Let's cut down the haughty people, save those who are downtrodden. God, you're my light again, and you'll lift me up when things are dark. And then everything, you should get everything to God. And the big transition, all the parshim bring this down, the big transition is in Pasuk Lamed. Okay? Up until now, he's talking about in a very passive way. God help me because of my righteousness. Now he says, Ki b'cha arutz k'dud. Arutz k'dud means I'm going to run ahead. I'm going to lead my battalion, his troops. Okay? He's talking about, Ishur, by the way, Machloket Parshanim, Ishur referring to Derech Shur, right, the highway going down towards Egypt, you know, attacking into the Sinai, or Shur being scaling a wall. That's Machloket Parshanim. I think both make perfect sense. But what's most important, again, is that he's attributing God's help, but he's taking now initiative. With through you, I'm leading my troops. Okay? And then again, referring back to El Tamim Darko, I have to be Tamim, and God is Tamim. Okay? Now Magain Hu L'chol HaChosim Bo. Why Magain? That's an easy one. Why is David going to use the word Magain? We use it in Shmoneh Esrei. When God helps us in battle, why is the word always Magain?
Abraham.
Remember, Onochi Magain Lach, the opening line of Kri Ben Abtarim, Atir Abraham, Onochi Magain Lach, you have great schar, and the whole history of going down to Egypt and God saving you afterwards. But God will watch our history, but we have to be worthy. And therefore, the idea of Magain Abraham, and then the idea of Magain David, people don't realize how beautiful that saying is. Magain David, but the word Magain, not just God protects David, but it goes back to the Brit, a Brit Ben Abtarim, Onochi Magain Lach. Remember? Remember, Gomel Chasrim Tovim, but Kunakov, the Zachar Chas Deavot. Or maybe go with Nebenehem again on the condition we're worthy of his help. Kimiel Mibashem, Elokeinu, there's no rock like our God. Now, by the way, that doesn't mean that we have to first clean up all of our ways before God will help us. If God sees we recognize our mistakes and willing to do better and want to do better, that's already enough to get started. In other words, it's not just what you've done, it's what you take upon yourself to do. That's in God's Minat HaRachmin, they'll give you a little head start. Yeah, you had a question, Gershon?
God protected David HaMelech in a nationalistic war, whereas he only protected Abraham Avinu in an international war.
With the four kings and five kings?
Yes.
I mean, in Pesukei Zimra this morning, we said, Bitachum, that was... When we thank God for keeping his breath, remember? What do you call it? God remembered his breath. And then we said, remember saying that in davening? That's talking about how God watched Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov saving them in their personal lives as well. In his encounter with Pharaoh, when he went down to Egypt, Yitzhak with Abimelech, Yaakov with Lavan. So according to Tehillim, when we say in davening, it's not only in the international world, God also protected them in their day-to-day life. Because there wasn't a nation yet. They were the prototype of the nation. Anyway, I'm skipping again Pesukim because we're running out of time. And in Mem Zayin, this is famous. The last five lines of the Shira, Chai Hashem Baruch Tzuri. Okay. Everyone knows the Zemer from Shabbat. Everyone knows the Zemer, I think. It's a famous one. He got it from here. It's a Zemer on Shabbat. It's a Shabbos Miros. And then Chai Hashem Baruch Tzuri, again, V'yuram Be'elai Tzuri Ishi, okay, Ha'el Noteinu Kamotli, and Umrit Amin Tachteni, which that's his nationalist wars. Again, he gives all the credit to God. And what's he saying? He saves me from my enemies. Mi'ish Chamasim Tatzireni. He saves me from people doing evil. Now, it's not only the David has to be worthy, he's fighting people who are evil, and that gives God a reason to help him. Okay? I'm going to therefore thank you publicly. I'll sing songs to your great name. And then the famous line, Magdil Migdo, without infinite machloket, Migdo Yishuot Makov Yosechesedim Shicho, the David Saro Ad Olam. And that's the famous end of the, we have had this invention, but they were saying God's the tower of salvation. And he give it to his king, to David. And David here is referring to as Malko and Mishicho. See the two words? Yishuot Malko and Chesed the Mishicho. The Tevez HaRov notes we're identifying David as like the theme of David being Mashiach Hashem is from here. And then at the end of Tfilat Chana, as I mentioned before, God is Mekim Efradam Yashpot Yom Revion. How come that looks so familiar? in Tefillat Chana? It's in Halo, if you remember from 113, I guess. Whatever Halo starts, Kufiyu Dalet. Mekimia for Dam Yashbot Yon Avion. And what those Shivim and Divim, Chisei Kabod and Chidem. Kilashim and Tzuki Arsif, yes, that's Shirat Chana. Vagrei Chasid Abishmor, B'Shem B'Choshek Yidamo, Kilo B'Koch Yigbar Ish. And then Hashem Yichatum Rivav Allah B'Shemam Yerim. That's the end of Tefillat Chana, of her prayer. Yadin Afse Aretz. And what's the last line of Shirat Chana? V'itein Oz L'malko, V'yarem Keren M'shicho. If I draw a line real quick, do I have to draw a line? Where's my little marker? You can see it. Malko shouldn't have been, from Malko to Malko, should make that green. And Yoren Keren M'shicho, M'shicho, M'shicho. And now, there's a question about, are the last two lines of Shirat Chana a later add-on, you know, in hindsight, or is Chana's Tefillah being fulfilled? That's a academic discussion of when Tefillat Chana was composed and what she said and what's added later by the book. But that's a technical question. Okay, now, that's Shirat David. And next week we'll talk about a little more in detail about why it's so key to the book. Because if at the end of the day, David is chosen to become king, despite all the problems that came up in the book and all the questions, all the question marks and the raised eyebrows of all the events happened in his life, I need to know at least somewhere in the book about what makes him special. That's what makes him Mashiach Hashem. And it's this approach to running the nation. And this is relationship with God, not just recognizing that God exists, but and that God can help us, but our need to be worthy of his help. That knowing has to be a key understanding. We need a leader who runs the country with that in mind. And if David's going to be the model of ideal national leadership, that has to be emphasized, especially towards the end of the book. Now, quickly, just a point about modern, I'll take a quick break about modern day Israel. Just a little note. There's always a question about saying Hallel on Yom HaTzmaot. I'll begin with the famous joke about the Pesach of Rav Shach, whether it's true or not, but it's a famous line. Rav Shach says on Yom HaTzmaot, he passes like Ben-Gurion. He doesn't say Tachnun, he doesn't say Hallel. That was his... Now, if he really said that, I'm not sure, but it's a great line. But usually what we do is we judge your Zionism by how much Hallel you say and how many bracha levatel, not bracha, no, it's how many bracha you say with it. So if you say Hallel with a bracha, if you're super, super Zionist, right, you say Hallel with a bracha at night and during the day. Got it? If you have a little sake, say only during the day, right? And then maybe only during the day without a bracha, things like that. Now, those, I'm just joking. I mean, but that's not the key point. You can be a total Zionist and actually not say Hallel or say Hallel at the end. Those are halacha questions. Ask your local rabbi. What do you do when a new time period happens in Jewish history and you need to say Hallel, but I need a framework. And, you know, we keep our tradition, but what happens when Jewish history changes and you need to update your tradition? So it was, how do we relate to new events and the returning after 2,000 years from exile without all the classic Zionism? You can't not relate to it, but how do you relate to it? So ask your local rabbi. There's all these rabbinic notes. When do you say Hallel with a bracha, without a bracha? When do you say, can you say it at night? Can't say it at night? Those are all lovely considerations. Now, the main thing is...
Do you think it's possible that Rav Shach didn't say Tachanun on Yom HaAtzmaut?
I what do you call it? I never researched it. Anything's possible. And I think in the old days, I think the old generation rabbis had a lot more respect for early Zionism than the modern day ones do. It was especially in the War of Independence. And, but that's ask Mark Shapiro. He's got the history on all that stuff. I just have stories from Rav Amital who tell us. Rav Amital knew, like, he knew Rav Shach. He actually is related to Rav Shach. Rav Amital had a famous story. Somehow he's related to Rav Shach. They're mishpacha somewhere from, they're all related to, Rav Yisrael Zalman Meltzer. They married, they're all one big family, but they're, or they're married to the family. But one time he met Rav Shach at a wedding and they said to each other, in fact, who said to who? He said, we're so far apart, we don't argue anymore. That was a very sharp line. Now, why did I bring that introduction? The minhag of the Rabbanut a Rashid in the old days when it used to be Zionist, in the good old days, with in Rav Gurin days, and so the and Rav Uziel. So the original takana of Hallel of Yom Atzmaut at night at Marv was to say Tehillim 107. And to this day in Yeshiva, what we sing to Marv is Tehillim 107. I want to show you why Tehillim 107 is the best parak for Hallel. But with brach, without brach, but the title is, what's the best parak for Hallel for Yom Atzmaut? It's a long show, 105, 107, or 114, or 118, which is a regular Hallel, you know, of, the Hallel we sing, and Yom Tov and stuff, in Rosh Chodesh. I think our Hallel is 114 to 118. But why 107? We'll see why. We're going to study 107 in the context of Sefer Shoftim. Why? Because 106 goes right into 107. I'll prove that to you. I want to show you how, even though 106 ends book 4 and 107 begins book 5 in Tehillim, if you've been following Benny Shiurim, you probably know this well, but I'm not going to do all that. But take my word for it. 106 ends book 4 and 107 begins book 5. It's in your Tehillim books. It's always marked. But you can't miss the connection between them, and that's what I want to show you. So we're going to read the end of 106 to show how it flows into 107, and then we're going to focus on 107. Already? And now this year is for Yom Atzmaut. And again, next week we'll go back and tie this to why this is the last unit in Shmuel and how it relates to the theme of the book. We won't have time to do that today. So we're going to go back to the end of Tehillim 106, share my source sheet, and share. There we go. Okay, Tehillim 106. So it begins, Tehillim 106 began with Hallelujah, Hodu Lashem Ki Tov Ki Lo Olam Chasdo. Remember? That's a command that we have to praise God, and it's kindness is forever. And then the big question, Mi Yimaleo Gvurot Hashem Yashmiya Kol Tehillato? It's a double question. Mi Yimaleo Gvurot Hashem? Mi Yashmiya Kol Tehillato? That's what they go, the B goes to both halves of the sentence as part of the poetry. And it's not a rhetorical question, it's a real question. Even though we're obligated to praise God, who's worthy of praising God? Okay? And who's worthy of saying all his praises? Who? Ashrei Shomrei Mishpat Oset Tzedakah B'Choled. See what David's building on? It might be necessary to praise God, but to be worthy of praising God, we have to be people who Shomer Mishpat and do Tzedakah all the times. Okay? And therefore David prays, Achreini Hashem Birtzon Amecha B'tein B'Shu'otecha, remember me and save me, you know, with your salvation, to see for the good of your nation, of your chosen nation. It's basically join with our happiness. Help us be happy. Basically, help your people. Even though, pasiklav chatanu mavotenu evinu hirshanu, we get to all, the rest of the chapter, basically, David says, tachnu. We might not be deserving of your help, but we recognize we've sinned. But because we recognize our sins, we want you to help us. To help us start again. And then talks about how bad we were every time we left Egypt. The people who came out of Egypt weren't able to understand all your miracles, remember? And they didn't remember all the chesed you did with them. And despite all that, despite everything you did for them, they rebelled against you at Yam Suf. They went rebelled in the desert. That's what Rechtas and Sefer Bamidbar. We're not going to do that today. That begins the parak. It goes on and on. It's a very long parak. We're skipping to the end. Okay. We talk about basically, the parak goes through all the bad things that we did in the desert, but God saved us nonetheless because of his rachamim. And then at the end of the parak, this is the end, it talks about not only were we bad in the desert and we had to bring up a new generation, when we came to Israel, lo yishmidu et ha'amim asher amar Hashem lehem, they didn't finish the conquest of the land properly, as God had instructed them. Bitarvu b'agim, and therefore they intermingled. Instead of capturing the land, the land conquered them, and they followed their ways. They're not being punished for not kicking out the nations. They're being punished for doing idol worship. But idol worship happened because we didn't kick out the idol worshippers. And they were being thrown out because of the idol worship and their bad behavior. We didn't finish off the job. And therefore, instead, we mingled with them culturally. We learned from their ways. We followed their idol worship. We followed their ways. We followed their gods. They were our stumbling block. And we followed their, you know, offering our children to their gods or their evil spirits, okay? We spilled innocent blood, okay? And all these sacrificial rites like the Canaanites did. And this is from the end of Bamidbar. The lamb became tamei with all the blood that was spilled, and the lamb became defiled, okay, of their actions. And then what happened in Sefer Shittim? Vayicha af Hashem ba'amo, God got angry at his people. Vayitav et nachalato. It's parallelism, same thing in two different ways. Vayinim bi'agroim, and that's why in Sefer Shoftim, we kept on falling to all the different nations, and our enemies took over. Vayichatzum, vayivehem, vayikanu tachet yadam. Basically, we were defeated over and over again. Hamim rabot yatzileim. Many times, God saved them. Vayim yamru batzotam, vayimoku bavunam. God kept on saving us when we prayed. And we kept on rebelling to God after he saved us. Okay? But he saw when things were bad and he heard their cry. Okay? He remembered his covenant and he used his midav rachamim, like his kindness in the breed, and he helped us. He had mercy on us from all of our enemies, those who captured us. And then we prayed to God, save us again, God. Gather us from our exile, from all the nations, so that we can thank you and praise you properly. It was, we're praying to God, help us so we can thank you for praising us. I mean, we can praise you for helping us and returning from exile and defeating our enemies. Now, that's going to take us to 107. Before I get to 107 in the transition, what book, I mean, I'm giving it away. What, isn't this Sefer Shoftim? First of all, this pasuk here, Mem Hei, how come it looks so familiar? Anyone remember saying this anytime in their Judaism? I'll show the pasuk again. God remembered his covenant, and he repented, and God basically changed his mind because of his mercy to help us, even though we should have been punished. When did we say that pasuk?
Yom Kippur?
Not Yom Kippur, but close.
Rosh Hashanah.
And we're in Rosh Hashanah davening?
Zichronos.
Exactly, Zichronos. It's one of the three psukim of Zichronos, in the words of Tuvim, in Tehillim. That's one of the three psukim of Zichronos. The other ones are from 101. It's a very fitting one for Zichronos. But we have the custom, we just quote the pasuk and never look it up. I told you every time, every pasuk that we quote, you have to look up the context. It has a lot of meaning to davening. Now, remember the cycle of Sefer Shoftim. You can't miss the cycle of Sefer Shoftim there, right? And then there was, we kept on sinning, God kept on saving us, and we cried out, and then we went back on our ways again. Remember the cycle of Sefer Shoftim? It was, we left God. God brought a tzara, an enemy. We cried out to God. We had tzaka. We cried out, God helped us, and how did the cycle end? Sheket. Remember? There was Avodah Zarah, we left God, Tzara, trouble, Tzaka, prayer, Yeshua, through the Shofet, salvation by Shofet, and then Sheket. And what's missing, Do Hodeya. Now, watch, and that was a book written by Shmuel. Sefer Shoftim Shmuel wrote, we discussed that whole section on there. Shmuel ultimately anointed King David. And he was David's Rebbe in the beginning. Watch how a Talmud learns from his Rebbe and applies it in his life. Okay? Now we're going to read, in light of that, we have to read 107. Share my screen, and we have 5 minutes. Okay. This, you'll have to learn the whole parak. I'm just going to give you the framework of the parak. You can learn and translate on your own, but here, how does 107 begin? 106 ended with Hoshienu Hashem Kapsinim and Agon Lod Hashem Kodshecha. How does 107 begin? Hodu l'Hashem ki tov ki lom chasdo, just like 106 began. See the parallel? 106 began with Hodu l'Hashem ki tov ki lom chasdo, the end of book 4. But who's worthy of praising God? And then 107 begins with the same thing, Hodu l'Hashem ki tov ki lom chasdo. But who should praise God now? Yomru gulei Hashem esher galam yatzar, anyone saved by God or redeemed by God from any trouble. U'me'atzot kibtzam mitzrach mimrav mitzafon u'mayam. People in trouble who were saved and they see the hand of God in their salvation, they have to thank God, as well as people coming back from exile from Kibbutz Galiot. Okay? What a great parak for Yom HaTzmaut, returning after 2,000 years from exile to our country. Okay. Then now, this is a parak in Hebrew. I'm going to give it away how it works. It's structured to the T. The first three lines is a header. Okay? The header, that's what we just read. Then, there are going to be 4 cases, which is classic. The Gemara picks up on this. This is the famous halach we all know. The first case, we're going to have four cases of people in Sarah in trouble. The first one, lost in the desert. Okay? They lost in their way. They're thirsty. There's no food, no 7-Eleven, nothing. Right? They're about to die. No, nothing. By Tzakosh, they call out to God when they're in trouble. And God saves them. Right? And he shows them the right way, V'derech Yisharah. And then what do they need to do? They need to thank God because they basically gave them water and gave them food and saved them. Then what's the next case? Yoshvei Choshech V'samavet. Someone stuck basically in jail because they've gone evil, they did bad. And in jail, they finally do tshuva. Now, these two psukim, what holiday is this? Yoshvei Choshech V'samavet Asrei Oni Barzel. Remember saying this on any Jewish holiday?
Erev Yom Kippur.
Now, that's an Erev Yom Kippur. That's, we say that pasuk before Kaparot. Now you see why? Why this pasuk? Because, why? Because what it goes, by Chana Ba'amalibam, we give in, you know, with our heart. We do tshuva, basically, because there's no one else other than God. It's a pasuk we quote in a thing. And then we cry out to God when we're in trouble. God will save us. God will take us out of jail, break our shackles, and we'll thank God. Why? He broke down the jail doors and set us free. Then people deathly ill, they can't eat any food, they're about to die, they cry out in their illness to God. What does God do? We use sending a refuah shlema. Okay? And again, they have to thank God, and they have to bring a korban todah, and tell all the people, and tell publicly, you know, when you bring a korban todah, you have a limited time to eat it, and therefore, you have to invite people, you have to share it, and therefore, they'll ask you why you bring this Thanksgiving offering, and you tell the people, and basically, you sanctify God by bringing a korban todah, and then the last case, people down in sea, with, you know, lost at sea, waves going up and down, that's another Yonah story. They cry out to God when they're in trouble. God brings the sea back to quiet. And again, Yodu L'Shem Chazdo. But if you just look at the parak, you can catch it. See the pattern? Four times Tzaka, four times Hodaya. See that? Now, if you read this just in a regular sitter, you won't notice it. You follow? If you just read like a parak in Tidim, like the data dump, if you take 107 and read, Tidim 107, read 107, you won't notice this. You'll just read a bunch of psukim. When you have it formatted, you can print it out if you'd like. For davening, I'm sure most shuls say 107. I'm pretty sure it's in the Rina Yisrael sitters and all the Koran stuff. I'm sure they have it. But this is the parak we say, but they should have, it'd be much better if it was printed this way in the sitter. Now, we're going to read.
I see the midbar. I see the jail, I see the yam, I don't see the chole. Where, like, how?
Oh, this one, the chole, this is Yud Zayin. Right. Okay. That's the people who are deathly ill. They can't eat any food. How do we know? Because the answer, the refuah is Yishlach Dvor V'Yipa'im.
Okay.
And it's interesting that we cry out to God, but we recognize we're to blame for our illness. Okay. Now, are they ill because they didn't eat healthy or because they did something wrong? That you can argue what's shot of, you know, what caused their illness or why they're in jail because they went against God or went against society, but that's a different issue in the parak. Now, that's not the entire parak though. That's only the first half. What famous law do we have from here? The four people who we call Ben Shgomel, who have to bring a korban todah. Yeah, that's the Gemara in Brachot of people crossing the sea, crossing the desert, someone who's ill and got better, and someone getting out of jail. Nowadays, when we cross the sea and cross the desert by plane, there's machloket, is that considered technically crossing the sea and crossing the desert, even though we're in a plane and don't need a canteen? And therefore, do you bench gomel or don't you bench gomel? Again, ask your local rabbi. And nowadays, with air travel and in terror, it's this, what do you call it? If you feel the danger, you can, definitely there's opinions you're allowed to bench goma. You should bench goma. Okay, now, the end of the parak, which I've done now in English Hebrew, we change topic real quickly. And tell me, this sounds familiar. But, you know, I stopped right here with Pasek. We end the four cycles. But we don't end the parak with Pasuk Lamed Bet. We have a little add-on at the end. And we're describing what God does. These were personal redemption, people, individuals being saved. And now we talk about national redemption. There's a quick change from personal to national. Four cases of personal redemption, and now national redemption. What can God do? God can take mighty rivers and turn them into a dry desert. He can take sources of water and dry them out. Okay? He can take a what? He can take a fruitful land and turn it into salt. For what reason? Because of the evil of its inhabitants. What's it referring to? What famous story? That's Sodom and Gomorrah. Yeah. That's obvious. Okay. Now, on the flip side, what can God do? Remember the parallels between, remember Pesach and Sodom? I'm sure we've done that share. All the parallels between, remember eating matzah, like Mahama, punishing, God coming down to punish the evil, saving the righteous. Well, there's like Sodom is a mini, it's called Pesach and Sodom. I'm sure we've done that share before. But there's tons of parallels. It's the micro. The Sodom story is the pattern that's going to go in the big format coming out of Egypt. And the Sodom story starts the whole theme of Mishpat and Tzedakah. Now, what else can God do? God can take a desert and turn it into a source of water, right? A dry land into sources of water that's in the desert where God brings water from the rock, etc. Okay? But what else can God do? God can take a desert and turn it into a source of water. He can bring hungry people there, and they can set up settlements by Chanut Ir Moshav. Right? Sound familiar? By Zeru Sodot, they plant fields, they plant vineyards, and they have a good economy, and their fruit increases, and they're blessed, and they multiply, and their economy goes good. Now, you see how that sounds like modern-day Israel? God turning the Negev desert and the swamps right, into a thing, bringing people, refugees coming there, building up Moshavim, etc. But on the other hand, what else might happen? If they misbehave, okay, they might go bad, okay? And therefore, God does what? God pours his contempt on those who are not princes. The Nedivim are like the nobles who think they know everything, the Nedivim. He sends them astray, and he takes the destitute and the needy. He lifts them up from their oppression and from their poorness, okay? And he watches over them like a shepherd watches his flock. And then what do people who are straight have to do? People who straight see the hand of God in history and iniquity, they'll detest and get rid of. Who is wise and sees this and can litbonen, can understand and consider the mercies of God and bring his people back. Now, there's so many parallels, there's some similarities, I'm sorry, between these ending psukim and our return to Israel in the last century that it fits so nicely, the idea of a desert turning into a source of water and spinning settlements. Unfortunately, we have the second half also being with our troubles we've had since we began our state and our salvation. God keeps on helping us when we're in trouble. But what's really amazing is that even though the first four cases refer to personal redemption, in our own generation or last generation, who came to Israel? People came to Israel traveling through the desert, right? We had people holding coming through deserts from Ethiopia, people came from Tayman, etc. People coming from concentration camps, from jail, people deathly ill coming, people crossing by sea, all the illegal immigrants coming by sea, the ships, etc. So all the different cases here of people deathly ill and in dire straits and stuck at sea or stuck in the desert, in concentration camps, etc. Ultimately being saved and coming back and building up Israel, it's almost the Mizmor, even though the four classic examples which build us Korban Todah, they've almost come to true in our time period. And so it's mamash fitting, it's super fitting for seeing the hand. That's the last line is how to see the hand of God in history. Again, but seeing the hand of God in history is not just thanking God when things go good. It's also recognizing when things go bad, God might be sending us a message also. Again, what we need to do to be worthy of God's help, that's, can ask your local prophet or ask the proper rabbi. But I'm trying to show you in Shirat David, it's not enough just to pray. Prayer has to be transformative. Again, what are we doing wrong? Study Navi, and you'll see, and study Tehillim, and see what actions make God angry. Read Isaiah chapter 1, read Yirmiyahu, right? Read what makes God angry and what brings Korban, the psukim that Asher mentioned from Yechezkel as well, right? Look at the things that make God angry and cause him to not help us, or maybe allow our enemies to be successful in what we need to do to be worthy of his help. And that hope should give us some guidance of to make Yom Ha'atzmaut, Yom HaZikaron also transformative.
It's only God who is memaleit mimashchit otam. Our friends do not do that.
Yeah, and you have to pray that we have leaders that guide us, that God shows us what we have to fix. You follow? We have to pray for proper leaders who are proper rabbis who give us good religious insight and direction.
And we have to pray that our friends don't protect mashchit otam.
Shchitut means shchitut. Gerson's referring to shchitut in English is corruption. Yeah,
corrupt
behavior, corrupt financial things, corrupt funding and things like that, and bribes and political bribes. Okay, we'll end here. One second. Why did I bring it at the end of the shir? I put at the bottom of the source sheet is the famous Gemara Brachot about the four people have to say Bench Gomel again, Korban Todah. I'll just share with you a little title I use. In a Korban Todah, you have to share. We had in Parsha Kedoshim, this week's Parsha, there were all the laws about reflect the Ten Commandments, but all of a sudden there's a law about Pigul, which doesn't fit in. But Pigul, basically, if you want to eat a Korban outside its time frame, means you don't want to share it. So basically, what God's saying, if you're not willing to share your meal with others, you can't share a meal with God. If a Korban Shlamim is a, remember, there's something, if you want to bring a Korban, fine. But a Korban Shlamim represents your closeness to God, your affinity with God. You want to, relive Har Sinai and join a meal with God and share a meal with God. Now, if you're saying, I'm coming to share a meal with God, but on your mind is, I don't want to share my portion with other people, God says you can't share with me either. And you're cut off and you're chayv karet. So that's what, if you can't, I think that's not the right title. If you can't, if you don't want to share a meal with your friends, you can't share a meal with God. But that's a share on the Goshim to you. Anyway, I'll stop here. Let me just check the chat real fast. I guess Rabbi Jay's not here today. I guess we realized that.
I'm here now.
Oh, here, Rabbi Jay. Okay, that was
serious. No, just the last 15 minutes.
The share was all, I just summarize everything you say every week. Now, so David, Thursday, follow the mitzvot. So Joyce's question, there's always a question, when someone says, I kept all the mitzvot, if you're doing it to show off, that's not good. If you're doing it as for people to understand how you need to be worthy of God's help, then it's fine. David isn't saying, I'm a great tzaddik. He's saying, the reason why God saved me was because of my righteous behavior. So there, in a case like that, I think it's okay to boast, because you're boasting for a educational message. David's telling the truth. Okay, then REG answered. Very good. Okay, Rabbi, any announcements? Where's the Rabbi?
Just tomorrow night, of course, Yom HaZikaron, Yom HaTzmud, and Mark's class won't be taking place. Dr. Speer's class will resume next week, but Chaim Angel's class tomorrow will take place at 10 in the morning. And on Tuesday, Rabbi Schulman's class at 1 in the afternoon on Megillat Ruth will also take place. And on Wednesday, you saw I just sent out this morning, Rabbi Slifkin is going to be starting a 6-part series live from the Biblical Zoo. On all his, kind of interesting topics, animals, natural world, etc. So that will be Wednesday, also actually at 10 in the morning, 10 a.m. Eastern. And all right, want to wish everybody well. This is a tough year. I mean, I know Menachem, I guess it's Yom HaZikaron starting in about 8 o'clock is the siren normally, right? 8 o'clock.
No, the siren's in the morning. The siren's in the morning.
Oh, they don't have
it at night. Also, maybe at night also. Yeah, you're right.
Yom HaShoah
in the morning. Yeah.
Yeah, I was just talking to my kids. Obviously, this year much more difficult.
This year, we were six students from or Bogrim from Gush who died in the war this year. So there'll be six Ramim. We'll talk about each of the students. Let's see about each one of the students.
Well, on Thursday night, Rabbi Fine really spoke on David Schwartz, really gave a beautiful idea that he had given that they're printing us his Divrei Torah every week. So that's Yeah, very sad. Okay, we should have, what can I say, have simchas, and then, of course, transition. I think people are going to celebrate Yom HaTzmaut too, right? That's the idea. We'll have barbecues and... With a heavy heart, or... I mean, obviously.
Just like, I'm Havdil, we continue Tisha B'Av even though we have a state, you know?
Right.
We continue Yom HaTzmaut even though things are falling apart.
Right.
To be. But it's not the question of... It's how you celebrate and what... What the celebration does for you. You know, it's to give meaning to the suffering, to make meaning to the suffering, but hopefully, you know, appreciating your that's what it was, to remember to be worthy of God bringing you back. That's why it's important. That's why Shirat David and Tehillim 107 are so important for, that's why we did like, Shirat David, when you understand it, it's just as fitting for Yom HaZikaron and Yom HaTzmaut as any other parak as well, which we have in Tehillim Yotchet, basically. Anyways, okay. I told them before that I was Yotze Benny's Shir and Tehillim today.
Yeah, I mean, obviously he's right. Yeah. Benny's not going to share. Obviously, it's really right for Yom HaZikaron. Yeah, Benny will be next week. And okay.
I think the importance for my generation is the difference between what it felt like in the 1940s and even at the current situation, what it feels like today. It's a big difference.
Yeah, for sure.
Today's a lot better. I mean, despite everything. Right. It's not 1938. You know, that's as bad, you know, it's...
And we need to realize that.
Right.
And to appreciate that.
Right.
You know, Rabbi Lau said that you can't compare. He's very upset that today's situation is because being called the Shoah, because now we can defend ourselves. We have a place to run to and to live. So it's not comparable.
It's not. And obviously this in 6 million, I mean, how can you compare? It's, you know, it's a totally different thing. Yes, correct. That's why I say, yeah, it's Yom HaZikaron, but then we celebrate Yom HaTzmaut too. It's, you know, and listen, I always say for us living here, it's I don't know, it's obviously harder in Israel, but it's on a certain level for us to, how do we emotionally relate? It's not simple, you know. I guess we're all struggling with that issue. If any, I imagine. So, anybody has any thoughts? You know, always happy to hear it. Feel free to express them. Those who live in Israel, it's obviously a different level of participation. But listen, life in Kutz Lartz has been upended too, and you know, you can't go to university. I mean, what's going on in the university campuses?
In America, you're feeling anti-Semitism. You never thought you'd have it, but Hashem is showing. Don't be so comfortable. Right. You know, America could be like Germany, could be like Spain.
Right. Although you know, I still do think. There's a lot of support for, I don't think it's quite, I mean, listen, what do I know? But I don't think it's quite as bad as, you know, the encampments would seem to indicate. But thank God, you know, and whatever. There's still a lot of support for Israel.
Yeah, it's the beginning. Who knows?
Who knows? That's right. So we can, who knows? But we can dive in, and we have to do what we should be a Kiddush Hashem. That's our job, to be a Mamlecha Kohanim B'Goy Kadosh. And what we can't control, we can't control. But we can control, what you were saying at the end, being ethical and being a model for the world and anti-corruption, that's our job. And hopefully God will take care of the rest. I don't know what to say.
I would suggest that you look up the interview that Professor Neil Ferguson, a historian who was a fellow of the Hoover Institution, did with somebody here in Israel when he, Neil Ferguson, visited Israel several weeks ago, and the comparisons he draws between what went on in the German universities in the 1920s and especially the 1930s, and what is going on, has been going on in the American universities, the elite universities, during the last 20 years. I think it's very enlightening.
I mean, the comparisons are too great. Is that what he's going to say?
The comparisons are frighteningly similar.
Yeah, that's what I. Yeah.
But you have to listen to him. He's a he's one of the world's best historians, Scottish, Oxford grad, but with background all over the place. N-I-A-I-L-L, I think. Neil. It's Gaelic. It's a Gaelic spelling.
You can send the link in the chat.
I couldn't pull it out and find it before.
It just says we can do a Google search of it, put the name that we have to Google search for.
I think Mashchitotam means both destroyers and people.
And they're Ashkata. That's wordplay from the Mabul, isn't it?
People whose his intellect is corrupt.
Yeah. Remember before the Mabul, God says, Kishkit kol basarta kol aretz, and then Hini Mashchitam. Because of their Ashkata, God's going to destroy them. But it's wordplay of.
Yes, and it also denotes corrupt ideology, which we see now among our friends who are being corrupted in a woke manner.
Okay. All right. Anyway, we have to.
All right. Yeah. Let's try to end on a positive note. We Jews are always optimistic. Every Haftorah always ends with something positive. The Jewish people are strong. Baruch Hashem. People are wonderful. Things are happening. Simchas are happening, and lots of good things. So let's try to focus. You know, always the hope of the Nevi'im that we always had, that we wouldn't be here without the Hatikvah, without the hope and the optimism that we've shown for thousands of years. We couldn't have survived. So let's hope for good days. Besorot Tovot, everybody.
Amen.
Well,
amen.
Hope to learn with you soon. And everybody be
and more. And more.
Amen.
Thank you. Okay. Have a good day, everybody. Bye-bye.